right. Welcome back. We got Quincy and John here on the Compound Growth Marketing Podcast. We're here today to talk about the ways to double revenue and how to think about customer economics throughout the funnel in order to build a model that actually works towards doubling revenue. The answer is not just doubling leads. We know that, we've known that, we've talked about that, but we wanted to talk about the ways that you can build those models, think about, and the ways to think about how to actually make an impact through marketing-driven metrics. So Quincy, this is your topic. I want you to start out today.
Yeah, sweet. So I was doing some research and doing some nerdy marketing listening, and I came across this idea and this thought, and especially in the time we are now, how there's been a lot of cutbacks, there's been a lot of challenges with marketing teams, and a lot of people are trying to figure out as organizations, especially in our SaaS space, B2B, like how we can get more efficient with less and how we can still increase and grow revenue to where whenever this whole thing levels out, we'll be in a better place and we have this thing. And so the thought or the idea came about when I forget who it was, like the idea to double down on a channel or double down on a strategy to get more is actually kind of ridiculous, right? Because if we think, yes, said channel is getting us a great amount of leads, like 40 leads, right? So I can double my money and essentially get 80 leads now, and I can keep continuing to double and get like these leads. But I think the problem with that, and I think you'll agree with this sentiment, is it's not scale. Like you can't scale that. You can't continue to double.
Well, like why wouldn't you be doubling down already? Right? If you can just go in, double up your money and double your return, why wouldn't you do that? I think what you're saying is there are diminishing returns the yes. more you invest in the channel.
Yep.
100%.
Exactly that.
And I think you deal with this a lot with the C-suite because I felt it more 10 years ago where Google Ads was less of a known, Facebook, LinkedIn, like all these social networks where there are, or all these real-time networks where there are diminishing returns, you would have the CEO that said, okay, this channel did great. They wouldn't ask you about impression share. They wouldn't ask you about audience saturation. They would just say, let's double down on this channel. And I think that came from like TV and print where you could do that.
Yeah.
You could spend more and you didn't need to worry about algorithms. You didn't need to worry about quality score. You didn't need to understand like the click-through rate or the CPL or anything like that. It was like, go buy double the block of TV that you had previously. And that just doesn't exist today. So I think what you're talking about is diminishing returns.
1,000%. And so I think where I want to go with this and what I want to ask you is just this idea of optimization, right? Like we've talked about it a few times, like a bunch of times on this podcast, right? It's like, how can you optimize and what are those triggers that you can pull in order to double the revenue that's not doubling down and quadrupling down? Because it's just not scalable to continue to do that if you're not paying attention to those key factors that you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the exercise I would do. And I call it the funnel economics exercise. Go open up a spreadsheet in Google Sheets, create a couple of columns, one column for each funnel that you have coming into your site. In the rows, put visits, then allow for a space, then leads, then allow for a row in between, then MQLs, then SQL, then pipeline, then customer. And map out the number of visits, leads, MQLs, SQLs, pipeline generated, and customers, and then, total customer value from each of those offers. It can be demo requests, it can be chat, it can be trials, it can be eBooks. Go in and build out this funnel economics exercise. That will allow you to see how much is a visit worth to you? How much is a lead worth to you? How much is an MQL worth to you? How much is an SQL worth to you? How much is a Is an SQL worth to you? And even how much is a customer worth to you from each of those different funnels that you have on your website? And pay attention to it, because the leads that you see are not going to be equal, worth the same amount from each of those different offers. The eBooks are going to be worth way less than the demos. The trials are going to be worth more or less. They're going to have a different average deal size than demos. Your chat leads are going to have different funnel economics than everything else. So do this exercise for each funnel. Then do the same thing for all of the channels where you're driving customers. And if you really want to get sophisticated, create a section for Google Ads, then have all the different funnels that it drives leads for, then do one for Facebook, do one for Google, do one for direct. So you can really start to understand where your leads are coming from and which ones are most fruitful, because not all leads are created equal. Not even all MQLs are created equal, although they should be if you're using the right metrics. If you look at matched ICP and the amount of intent they have and you have a score based off of that, you should have a pretty predictable MQL metric, but most people don't. And even down as you get into sales qualified leads, not all those metrics are going to be equal. So an experience I had a couple of years ago was working for a company. Hey, things are going great. We were working with a company. This was CGM. Things are going great. We just need to double the amount of leads next year. Boom. The marketers gamed it.
Yeah.
Right? Like their immediate mindset was, okay, we can go out and get ebook leads for $10 a pop. Let's go do more of that. And it's like, no, leads, like doubling leads is not going to lead to doubling revenue. So there are two ways that this happened. One is you see diminishing returns on all your channels. The other is not all leads, not all funnels are created equal. And it's an incredibly important exercise. Did I derail this conversation?
No, that's perfect. And I was going to say, too, I'm really glad that you layered in the channel exercise to do it not only by all up, but then to layer it by channel. And then where I was going to go from there is, so then is it a double-edged sword for an executive to say, hey, I just want you to double leads? Is that the wrong terminology to tell your marketing team?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot more people say we want a double pipeline. I think we're learning a little bit more about that metric. Like I've seen it all over LinkedIn. I wrote about it last week and we started to see this with some of the companies we were working with last year, where we were like, look, pipe, like we would have started with them like second half of last year. We were like, look, the pipeline numbers are going up. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, pipeline's going up, revenue isn't. And so I think, moving further down the funnel in terms of the metrics you're paying attention to, but ignore the lead metric. Ignore that. I think MQL, if it's done right, is a good metric. It's gotten a bad name. That's fine. I'm not going to try to fight that too much. But I think paying attention to opportunities created and pipeline is really like moving down funnel. You're going to start to see more predictability in those metrics across all funnels, across all channels, in terms of how they convert into actual revenue than you do from leads, certainly.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think the other thing that's super important and that like I've been more recently paying attention to is not only the match to ICP and determining ICP for some of the clients, but like also looking at another metric, which is like win rate within that ICP or within that channel and saying, hey, we're going after these people and it's only like a 2% win rate, but we have a 30% or 40% win rate here. Are we even targeting the right people? Should we like reevaluate like our GDM strategy and things like that? So
yeah, I love that you brought this up because that was my post today was about, you got to pay attention to the industries that are growing, the industries that are staying the same and the industries that are shrinking. So it's the exercise and what I love that your team does when we're working with clients, Quincy, is you're evaluating down funnel, looking at the revenue intelligence to understand where your best customers are coming from. What are the characteristics of those customers? What are those customers going through? You do the win-loss analysis. You do the open rate analysis throughout the funnel. You pay attention to lifetime value of those customers, all to help people identify who the best customers are. Because there are leads that'll come in, they'll raise their hand, they seem like they're a really good fit, but maybe they convert worse down funnel. Because there's a vertical, let's say you're selling into the CRM industry, for example. There may be a verticalized software platform that is a great fit for that industry. And so you have less of a chance of actually closing those deals. They're still going to take a look at Salesforce and HubSpot and other companies when they're looking at the CRMs that are out there. But at the end of the day, they end up going with the vertical one that's integrated with the database that they care about. That just might be the way it is. Paying attention to those verticals and constantly assessing your audience, who your ideal customer profile is important.
And then you touched on another thing, another place I wanted to go. It's almost like we planned this thing.
Almost.
How frequently should you be doing these evaluations on whether it's the channel or whether it's the pipeline and things like that?
Yeah, so I think the channel and funnel, that's a report that I typically have up and running 100% of the time, and I'm paying attention to, hey, what's going on here? I think that's a great place for you to collaborate with the sales team to show them, hey, here's what we're working on. We're investing in XYZ. We can't double this because we've maxed out the total potential, 90% of the way there to maximizing the total potential of a channel. And then the funnels, that's going to be something once the sales team learns about it or figures out that the different funnels have different characteristics down funnel, they're going to say more demos and it's more demo requests. So it's a great thing to discuss in your weekly meeting with the sales team, because I think there's a lot of collaboration over that and how we should be handling those leads and really making sure you're optimizing those funnels from a marketing and sales perspective.
Yeah. And I would say, from thinking of marketers across the board at an individual contributor level, communicating up to an executive with kind of these insights makes you look really amazing, right? Because you're like, hey, I don't just need more money for the marketing budget. We need to think about how we're doing anything, and we can actually help to inform the go-to-market for the entire organization based on like our marketing insights. And so speaking up to those things and not always being a taker is like super important.
It's also a great way to get them out of your inbox when they get emails on a weekly basis from content syndication firms offering to sell leads, in-market leads that are high intent for $20 a pop or whatever. When you can show them, hey, our content syndication channel has driven no revenue. Our content syndication channel has driven nothing. These are low quality leads that we're driving from content syndication.
No. I'm laughing because that's a recent conversation. exercise that we're going
through. I was going to say, if anybody, I have a compound growth marketing pen. If anybody emails me and tells me they have above a 2% conversion rate on leads from content syndication, I will send you a pen and potentially some other compound growth marketing swag.
Because give them one of the notebooks.
I have not seen that. Yeah, we'll send you a pen and a notebook if you're getting above that. But I would love in return a conversation to understand where those leads are coming from or what content syndication platform you're using. I just have not seen success there from those leads coming in, nor like long-term have I seen much attribution back to leads that come in from a content syndication source.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is, don't be the marketer who is in a dark corner somewhere where the executives have no idea what your contributions to the organization are. Always be analyzing not only funnel economics, but like your channel valuations as well. And then what was the third thing. Oh, the third thing is communicate up. You're really big on communicating up, like communicating like your insights. And so I would say that's the third thing. The third key takeaway from here is like always communicate those findings, because you never know how that's going to either change your organization or give you some insight to say, hey, we should not be doing this thing. Like, right. Let's pivot and do this other thing.
Sad.
Sweet. Anything else?
No, that's it. That's all I have for this week.
Awesome.
What are you reading these days?
I'm still on the Patterson Principles of Selling.
Okay.
And then I'm actually really into...
What made you decide to read that?
Because my sales teacher at UT Dallas would say that I'm a really great salesman, but I feel like I'm awful at closing deals. And so I want to understand, A, your challenge, like when you're going through a sales cycle and sales processes, yeah. is like how I can help. But then me to be like, how can I close deals? And like, how can I be a better... sales is all about active listening. So how can I be a better active listener? So yeah, that's part of it too. Yeah.
The Patterson Book of Sales?
The Patterson Principles of Selling.
All right. It's good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's really digestible too. So
nice. I'm going to check that out. I'm currently reading Dream Golf, which is about golf architecture. So probably a tiny smidgen segment of our audience that would like enjoy that one, but I'll let you know once I get back on the business book bandwagon. But I'm loving this book. So awesome. Thank you so much. We'll connect next week. And Quincy's going to play us out with some music. Check him out on Spotify, Quincy Forte. Bye.